I want to talk today about the sovereignty of God. We make much about the sovereignty of God in FGA, and I believe rightly so, because this takes us beyond ourselves, it takes us beyond this world, and it takes us into the very presence of God. God, who always has been, always will be. He is uncreated, eternal spirit, and there never was a time when he was not. And God at times takes us beyond our everyday environment, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and so forth, and he begins to reveal and show more of himself. Why does he do this? Because this helps us with our faith. It moves us beyond our own feelings and emotions and our world that at times brings us down. It brings us into the presence of Almighty God. And I've got a title for our teaching today, The Sovereign Security of God Holds Us. The Sovereign Security of God Holds Us. And I want to start this off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. Actually, we'll go from verse 23. And it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there it speaks that the Holy Spirit, he preserves and he keeps us blameless for the coming of the Lord. And then in verse 24, he says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So here we begin to see the sovereignty of God, who calls a remnant to himself. In other words, he has called his family, chosen, before the foundation of the world, which you and I should be a part of. And I want us to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. So he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Isn't that wonderful? What a promise there that I think is worth underlining in our Bibles. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." He's revealing his thoughts, his heart, towards those whom he has chosen and called from the foundation of the world. And he says, "Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." And even when God is chastening us or he's delivering us, the end result is always peace, fellowship, harmony, unity, oneness. That is always the thought and heart of Almighty God in his dealings with you and I. Now, let's just reflect again, and we've taught on this over the years, so I make no apology, but what is our understanding of God's calling over our lives? Well, we need to go into the scriptures to really understand this. You see, the Bible speaks of a calling that God gives to sinners. And he calls us through the preaching of the gospel. And its calling is in which to repent in which to be saved. I'm reminded of where it says in the Bible in Mark 1, where Jesus came into Galilee, and it says that he came preaching the kingdom of God. And what was he saying? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. So you will always know if the anointing, the unction is upon a vessel because they're preaching and teaching, there is always the call to repent, to turn away. Otherwise, it is not a gospel. It is another gospel. One of the signs that you discern and test a ministry, does it have the power, the ability, the anointing to call men and women to repent, to turn away? That must always be discerned in whoever you listen to. And there are many, many, many who are preaching and teaching, many who do not also have this unction about them. Why is it not there in their preaching and teaching? Because they have not been called. You can only listen to those who've been eternally called from the foundation of the world. And the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4, are those who have been eternally called, who love Christ's body, who build his body so that it functions, so that it ministers, so that they are fed and kept and nurtured. Here it is. This is the calling. Now, it's interesting when we study the Word of God that there is a general calling and a special calling. What do we mean by this? Well, there's obviously only one gospel, but in the gospel, in the preaching and teaching, there are actually two aspects. It's like our coins that we have. They have two sides. As I have always said, on one side of the coin, you are called. On the other side of the coin, you are being called, or you're being worked upon. And as Jesus said, the only way you will know that you are called from the foundation of the world is that you will remain and stay with it and be faithful to the ends. So we see then that this general call is through the gospel, to which many may or may not respond. You see, this general call in its nature and preaching is always warning. There always must come in teaching a warning, where you can turn away. You can turn and follow the Lord. Always in preaching, you are given the choice in which to choose, to repent. And so in that preaching and teaching, there's always that general call, which in its nature is a warning. And the one who responds to the warning is saved. You see, there's nothing to prevent a man or woman from responding. Each person makes their own choice. That is precisely what we are doing today. And all of those who hear the teaching. As John 3:16 says, whoever will come unto me, all who labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So there is the call, there is the promise to those who respond and who will stay with it. Now, that is the gospel teaching. The call to salvation is always in the Word. The doorway into the kingdom of God is set in the body of Christ. And some respond and some don't. Jesus had it in his ministry. Read John 6. There were many after they heard Jesus preach. It was a hard word to swallow. That's what they were saying. They were offended by it. They chose no longer to walk with him. The tragedy of reading that chapter is that they were saying, well, he's right what he says. I can't argue with it. It's right, but it's not for me. How often have you heard that said? Or you hear people say, oh, well, it's right. It's obviously right for you, but it's not right for me. And that's really what's happening there. And that is what's so scary. That they admit it's right. Many people know that Jesus is right in the world. Many people will let you pray for them. They love your prayers. They all know it's right. But it's not for me. Why is that, brothers and sisters? Because you have to be called from the foundation of the world. That's why. Now, what is this special calling? Well, within this call of the gospel, there's a special, or what we call effectual call. The call on your life, if you have been called by Almighty God, is effectual and it cannot be changed. This inner call is of the Spirit's work in men and women, and it affects how you respond to the gospel. How are you responding to the word? What is it doing to you? Is it putting a greater hunger and thirst within you? Is it causing you to seek God in the word, in prayer? Does the word challenge you so that you take it before your heavenly Father and talk it through? These are all the signs of a special calling on your life. You see, the Holy Spirit's ministry is not only to convict, but also to influence and lead us to exercise our faith, to repent, to turn away. This is why we deal with faith, unbelief. Because the word of God that you hear is to get you to exercise your faith. You say to me, Pastor, well, how can I exercise my faith? Well, if you've been challenged by the word that you've heard, then it's made you go and talk it out with your heavenly Father. That has caused you to exercise your faith. Faith works in many, many ways and forms. It's not just going, laying hands on somebody and raising them from the dead. In fact, your faith is greater and more powerful when you take what you hear and you talk it out with your heavenly Father. That is what's great faith in his sight, because that is how you grow, you see. So this special call makes us effective. And then we know that through our call, God has predestined everything for my life. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm facing, God has a purpose and a plan behind it. And it's not a plan that is evil. This is where the devil becomes so vocal When in our trials he says, well, there you are, see, God doesn't love you. He wouldn't let you go through that if he's a God of love and everything. Well, we've already just read back to you in Jeremiah 29:11. God's heart is love, peace towards us. And it's always a greater picture and work that God is doing. You see, this effectual call is distinguished from just the general call. It says, doesn't it? For many are called, but few are chosen. It says in Ephesians 1. We're told in 2 Timothy that he has called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but he's called us to his own purpose and grace, which he's given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began. How about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13? We see how the seed is sown. But the seed that is sown into a soft heart will produce that fruit. And so we must see, brothers and sisters, that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He's predestined us also to become adopted, to become the children of God, and children of God are to mature and grow up into sonship. And all of this comes as we hear the word of God, the gospel, that we choose to believe on. This is why I'm always saying when we hear the word of God, we mix faith with that which we hear. And these are all the clear signs of calling. So what have we been looking at then, brothers and sisters? This sovereign security of God that holds us. Well, we've been looking at the calling, and we're looking at a special calling. There's the general call, and within that calling, there is a special calling, because those who are called respond to the gospel. And there you are. That is the sovereign work of God. God declares he is completely and utterly sovereign, and nobody can tell him. What does Isaiah tell us in Isaiah 43 and verse 10? Isaiah 43 and verse 10. For you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Saviour. There you are. Outside of God, nothing exists. So there we see then the complete sovereignty of God. Everything is held by his word. And even God doesn't inhabit the universe, that we don't even know how far its expanse. We can't even work it out how big it is. Man tries to, but he doesn't really know. And yet God exists even outside of that. His throne, his glory. We can't even begin to comprehend the greatness of Almighty God. And how often do we limit him to our own thinking, our own mindset, our own little life, and what we do? He's far, far greater. This is why he calls us to preach and teach the kingdom of God. Anything less than the kingdom of God, you're preaching, your ministry, a minister, your church or whatever it is not big enough. It's just not suitable. This is why God isn't in denominations, man-made organizations, and everything. People think he is. He's far bigger and greater. That is why in the Lord's Prayer he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What are we doing? We are praying the sovereignty of God in the church, in our teaching, in our lives, in our walk. And God is going to teach that. This is why when so often we seek God or we ask God, "Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this trial or whatever it is?" How often do we find God doesn't speak, doesn't say a word? He's not going to answer you. What he's going to answer is his greatness, his sovereignty. He's going to teach you who he is. Why? So that you exercise faith in believing. You see? God has done it all for us through Jesus Christ. It's done, it's finished. But he now calls us to believe on that which he has done. And through your belief, then the fruit begins to develop. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And by the fruit, you will know them, you see. This is how God, in his sovereignty, has chosen to do it. He could have done it in so many ways, but this is the way he knows in which to redeem us. And we know if we're called because we respond to it. We don't fight and resist like Israel sadly did so many times. Now, the sovereignty of God is so powerful, is so incomprehensible, it's so difficult to describe or even put it into words. And yet this power, the power of God, he places within you and I. And this is where it becomes absolutely mind-boggling. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And listen to what he says. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" So there we are. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my weaknesses or infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So the apostle, like us, seeks God, going through trials, going through tests. "I can't take much more. I'm breaking up. I'm going under by the strain." God says, "My grace is sufficient." Why? Because it's the strength, the power of God, the sovereignty of God, me being made perfect in your weakness. That is what he's doing. That is what holds us. That is God's power holding you when everything outwardly looks as though it's collapsing and falling apart. And how often have we seen that in our lives? Or maybe you're going through that right now, as though everything seems to be collapsing, falling apart. God says, "My grace is sufficient." It is what is sustaining and holding you in the trial of your faith until I have done that work. Are you in a trial that you're going through? And they can vary in all different ways. Then praise God. Through your weakness, he is strengthening you for the purpose of the plan he has for you through that trial. that you will come out doubly blessed at the end of it. Yes, just as we see with Job. And God blessed him at the end because he began to learn he was being kept by the power and strength of Almighty God. And when you are going through these trials, brothers and sisters, don't try and do anything that the devil tries to get us to do. The devil always tries to get us to react in our trials. Don't do it. Faith will know how to act. If you're going through a trial and it seems as though you're not to do anything, you're not to say anything, you're not to justify, you're not trying to get yourself out of it, just stand and watch and see the salvation of the Lord as he works on your behalf. Because he'll do it. He will put your enemies to flight. And your enemies, sadly, can be in your household. You do not have to prove anything, but stand and watch and see the salvation of Almighty God. Why? Because he says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in you in weakness. Because he says, I know you're weak at the moment. This is what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. They would have none of it. And it's what he's teaching us. Why? Because your future is held by sovereign God. Why? Because you have been called from the foundation of the world. You are his calling. You are his selection. He has chosen to love you out of all people and nations, the same as he chose Israel to love her, but she rebelled. And that's why we're grafted into the vine. And for a season, God has put Israel, his nation, to one side. To do what? To provoke her to jealousy. To show her what she's missing. That God has grafted in Gentiles. That's why he's done it. So this is the power within us. And this is why I'm always saying, you die daily by the cross you take up. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. And he will preserve, he will keep you in whatever your calling, whatever your standing, whatever your situations. And people begin to see it in time. They ask these questions, how does that man continue to go and stand and do what he does in that trial he goes through? Or how does that sister remain faithful in that relationship when her husband is so cruel to her? These are testimonies. Why? Because God is convicting sinners around you. You can't see it. He's convicting them. He's revealing his power through weakness that gets their attention. That's why we're called to be a living sacrifice. Like sheep daily to the slaughter, for the purpose that the sovereignty of God is seen, the power of God is seen in weakness. Of course, it doesn't make any sense. It's completely opposite to the wisdom of this world that is corrupt. But that is the mind and thinking and heart of God. To those who've been eternally called from the foundation of the world. This is why the Lord says in John 10, verse 3, He says in John 10, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there we are. His sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads each one of them out of this world, out of corruption, out of sin, out of unbelief. He calls us from darkness into light. This is why light and darkness doesn't mix, and it never will. There's the sovereign work of God. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That is what the word of God says. There's another thing that God is going to do through this special call that is upon our lives and the church. He's going to defend his name and glory. And woe to any of those who come against God's people, his name, his presence that lives in you, woe to them. Let's read in Isaiah 48 verse 11. Isaiah 48 and verse 11. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. There you are. God is sovereign. The work that he's doing in your life and my life, it is for his glory, and he's not going to share this with anyone. That is amazing, isn't it? The work that God is doing in your life, he says, I will not share this with anyone. This is for me. This is what I have chosen. This is what I am doing. And this is for my glory, what I'm doing through that saint I call from the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, I'm lost for words. I have no words on that at all. And what sustains and keeps us, brothers and sisters? 1 John chapter 2. And here he says in this, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. So you see, it's all about how we live, how we treat one another, how we love one another. A practical faith communicating each day. These are the signs. And he says, those that do not love the world, verse 15, the things of the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. There in that whole chapter, it's talking about those who have been eternally called from the foundation of the world by the sovereignty of God. Here is the sovereignty of God that holds us in being, that holds us in his presence, so that we can walk this walk day by day for the purpose that no one can boast in this walk. We give God all the glory. And finally, brothers and sisters, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes on about putting the whole armour of God, because we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, dominions. So he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your strength is in the sovereign power and might of Almighty God. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power preserving, keeping each one of us. The sovereign security of God holds us. Well, I trust you've been blessed by the word. It's been a bit theological today, but I make no apology for that. And there are times we need to really open up the scriptures to just really see what this calling is upon our life and what God is doing in and through each one of us. Praise God.